Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome, welcome everyone to the So You Think You Can Dance wrap-up. We are here to recap the first elimination of the season and to give all of our thoughts about this round of solos and duets during the live show on our new stage with our new theme song. And I am here, as always, with the lovely Kelly Bedard. Kelly, how are you?
I'm good. I'm in Niagara-on-the-Lake at the moment, and I'm in a friend's house, so a cat might appear randomly, people might walk in, who knows what's going to happen today.
Ooh, surprise appearances. Yes, we are sorry for the delay on this podcast. It was 100% my fault. I was in Montreal in an apartment with absolutely zero Wi-Fi, so this and the American Ninja Warrior podcast are very delayed. There was just no way that I could even watch these episodes in Canada, let alone record about them, so we are sorry about that, but happy to be back. Not really happy to be back, but, you know, happy to be back recording. And not happy to be back from my trip. Happy to be back recording a podcast.
I thought that was you saying that you hated this episode so much that you were like sad to have to talk about it.
That's not inaccurate.
Really? Okay, we have to get into this because just like cards on the table, everybody, I watched this episode when it aired, so a long time ago now, and Lita watched it last night, so she is much fresher with these opinions than I am. I'm gonna have to be reminded a little bit. I thought it was fine. I mean, we've got some results issues to talk about, but even those I'm handling.
Yeah, well, you're handling it because they weren't the only team on your draft that you liked.
Okay, but Lita, that's why you have to follow your heart.
I know.
It's a life lesson. But I was actually, I re-listened to our previous podcast before recording every week, and we got to the end of the draft, and you were like, I'm going to put all of my hopes on Robert and Jasmine. Yeah. And I was like, oh no, they're already gone.
Yeah, I was like, best case scenario for me, it's Robert and Jasmine, because I think that they could win, and also I love them. So I've got a new team that I am rooting for to go all the way, but I still don't like them as much as like at least two teams on your draft, so that's not great. But there were some good routines. It was a fun episode. I was moderately spoiled for the episode because I knew that Robert went home, but I did not know which Robert. And
that's funny.
And so I felt all good being like, you know what, I can live with Robert and Taylor going home. We did not call them going very far, and just totally forgot that it was possible that a different Robert went home.
You know, and I have in my notes, I'm tired of this two people having the same name situation, because every single time they bring up Jasmine's partner, I think of the all-star Robert. So I'm glad that that actually paid off in a little small way, in that you got to carry an extra couple days of hope somewhere.
Yeah, I was not totally spoiled. It actually added to the suspense, because I was like, oh, who's it going to be? Because I had just kind of assumed it was going to be Paul. But that's what happens, I guess, when the judges make these choices.
Yeah, I actually really like, how do you feel about this bot? I think it's unique to So You Think You Can Dance, of any of the competition shows, this idea of the viewers pick a bottom three and then the judges pick from there. It gives them a certain amount of control, and I think it really safeguards them against things like, in his season, the fans wanted to get rid of Robert, the all-star Robert. Mm-hmm. And Nigel knew that that was a bad choice. And so it's kind of a safeguard. And I do generally, I guess, trust the judges more than I trust the audience.
Yeah.
But it is strange. It is more producer controlled than most shows.
Yeah, I think that it's a good system. It's certainly better than, I think, America just completely deciding, because then you get things like people get Daughtry'd, where, you know, Chris Daughtry went home, even though I think it was the common perception is that everybody didn't vote for him because they just assumed that everybody else was voting for him. And on the flip side, no one gets Sanjayid, where they somehow make it into the top 10, despite not really being very good. So I think it's good in that respect. But it also is hard to reckon with the idea that these are three people, and I don't really believe that Vanessa is getting in there fighting for anyone. So it's really two people that have a very specific idea of what they want in the show, who have been with it since the beginning. So they may have a certain image of who they want to win. And that is kind of hard. I do think it's better than America Just Picking, though.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's sort of like when there was that one girl whose name I can't remember, who got eliminated crazy early on American Idol. And the next year you saw them give the judges a save. It's kind of like an extreme version of that, that I think is probably a good idea. I do wonder, there will be a point at some point when that convention goes away. I'm wondering when that will be, top five or something like that.
Yeah, because it is America's favorite dancer, so you should give America all the power at a certain point. But yeah, I think it mostly prevents like flukes and things like that. But I do think that the judges made the absolute wrong choice this time.
Okay, so of the bottom three, was Paul down there?
Yeah, it was Paul and Sydney. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, well, I think that came down to who, I actually didn't think Robert and Jasmine were bad this week at all.
No, I didn't either.
But the judges were harder on them than they needed to be. And I think it was a little bit of self-justification.
Yes.
But I thought Paul and Sydney were lovely this week. So I think that it was a matter of someone being mediocre last week and great this week, or someone being great last week and mediocre this week. I think the judges are more likely to be led by an upward trend.
Yeah.
Then, you know, because they sort of evened out, essentially.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm also wondering if they don't like Jasmine anymore because she got a raw deal this year.
Yeah, that's fair, except that I didn't agree at all with their critiques of Robert's piece this week. So it just really comes down to that. I think I understand their justification if that's how they truly felt about the routine, but I just didn't agree with them on that. So I was very outraged by this. But we shall get into the episode, because there were some moments that I did like. I wasn't down on this whole episode. Among the things that I liked, this Bee Gees disco number, I loved it.
Oh my god, the wigs. Oh yes, my god, the wigs.
It was amazing.
This was so fun. I really did enjoy this. I will say, I always, one of the things I look for in the, if not the thing I look for in the group numbers, is who catches my attention.
Comfort.
And I am genuinely shocked to say this week that it was Lex.
Oh,
like, I don't really care about Lex. I know that like Lex is supposed to be the person who grabs our attention because he's so amazing, but like, I don't really care about Lex at all. And he totally, I thought he had so much personality in this routine. I thought he was just like absolutely magnetic. It was interesting. And then followed by Dassey, who's the other person who really got me.
Oh,
everyone else I didn't even recognize really under those crazy wigs.
I was totally zoned in on Comfort and Cyrus. I thought that they were just Cyrus in that white disco outfit. Really, really connected with me.
Mm, did it?
Yes.
Gosh, Lita. Okay. We're learning so much about you.
So much. And this was also a Mandy Moore and Val routine, which
who knew?
I guess they choreographed together.
She does the opening numbers on Dancing with the Stars. So they do know each other. I was about to say they don't, but they do. I'm loving this Val integration. I thought he might be a one-off, but he's not. We saw a lot of new choreographers this week. We had three Canadians and a bunch of people we'd never heard of before. I kind of liked it. I get a little tired of just like, and then another Travis routine and another. And like to happen to Napoleon, I love them, but like at a certain point, they get repetitive. So I'm happy to see lots of very different people this week. And that includes Val, who I think is a delight.
Yeah. Early front runner for the hashtag Val integration. Sounds like a very scientific word.
It sounds like a Big Bang Theory episode title.
No.
It's like always the plot element, then like experiment word.
I see.
Felton interrogation. I don't know. Anyway.
I've never actually seen that program. I'm learning so much.
I watch everything. Like everything. It's sad.
So everybody this week is going to do a routine with their all-star. The genre and choreographer is picked by some mysterious gods above named production. We are not given at all how they get this, this style.
I'm glad they're at least they stopped pretending it was pulled out of a hat. For years they pretended it was. And other than the fact that like every once in a while you'd get like people performing with the same people over and over again, or Benji not doing contemporary or whatever the fluke is. For the most part, I always like they just gave you whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
And it was all a staged thing.
Yeah, so they're gonna do that, and then they have the classic 30-second solo, which is fine. I really feel like the solos, you have to be really, really great for your solo to matter, right?
Did anybody stand out to you?
I think a couple people did. I really like, spoiler alert for the rest of this podcast, I'm so all in on Logan now. This episode, really? He blew me away, and I thought that his solo stood out to me. I liked Robert's solo. I thought it was at least memorable. And I think Dassey, those are the three that stood out to me. What about you?
When I was watching Kiki, I was thinking that it's a matter of time until he's a Dancing with the Stars pro.
Yeah.
which I thought was interesting. I'm hoping he takes Gleb's spot. He's my least favorite. I thought Koine was surprising. There's something, and this might be just me judging her for being a very pretty normal girl, but I always think of her as sort of an exceptional version of that standard contemporary dancer, and she's not. She's more interesting than that. This was really strong. It didn't feel super contemporary. Lots of floor work. She wasn't leaning on her extensions and her leaps, Taylor. Yeah, literally next to Taylor solo, I just wrote whatever.
Yeah.
Logan's was cool. I mean, the head slide was obviously showy, and it was neat. I just wrote how neat with an exclamation point. I thought Mark's was good. I'm interested in Mark. I think, and you saw this in his routine as well, if we want to get into that, but when he calms down, he can be super sexy. Like, he's got a really interesting presence. We haven't seen a B-boy in a really long time, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So, and like in the early years of the show, the B-boys were really integral. So I'm glad he's here. I thought he did a fun job.
I'll say Lex. I know that we,
did Lex too.
His was like kind of the typical Lex thing, but the typical Lex thing is incredible, and I felt like it was particularly effective this week, just because I didn't feel like his dance with Gabby did much for him. So when solos really mattered the most, is when like someone does a not great routine and then they can just go out there afterward and just kill it and remind America why they're there and what they do. So I thought it was particularly effective for him.
Yeah, I'm remembering now. I thought his was groovy and had good flow.
Yeah, it made me wish that Lex and Logan would do a routine together just to see like what the human body is capable of.
Well, if they stay long enough, they might.
Yes, that's true.
Because, you know, at a certain point, we're going to have these 2-hour episodes and nothing to fill them. So they're going to have them start dancing with each other. And luckily, in the last few years, we have figured out that we can put two male dancers together and give them something to do. I also am remembering Dassey. My note next to Dassey is she the literal coolest? And I'm worried that Team Fiction is going to win another year, which would make him a 3-time winner. But I also think she's a dramatically better dancer than
him. Yeah, I agree. So that's on the solos. If there's anything else we want to mention, then we can bring that in when we talk about their routines with the all-stars. I don't really feel like there's too much to go over in the solos. Nothing we haven't really seen before. So we will start with Comfort and Mark. So we get these little packages of like them sitting down in the studio and like, how did it feel to perform? And these got old after a couple, but I really like seeing Mark and Comfort interact because I feel like she's just the perfect person to like rein in his energy a little bit, but still encourage all of his like craziness in a way that doesn't make him feel stifled or, you know, she's not trying to keep him in line. She's just trying to keep him focused, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that little screaming ritual they have, yes, where they have like a secret handshake and then scream, is the cutest.
It's so like cute.
Also, this Ray Lieber jazz routine, they have unbelievable chemistry. Yes. Like, these guys, they're so hot. Like, and Vanessa rightly points out that Mark, when he's less goofy, is really compelling. And I didn't necessarily know. Last week I said, I don't know if he's going to be able to keep a straight face when he gets a Paso or something. But he really did. He totally held it in until he could let it go. And that was awesome. And I'm very confident in my second round draft pick here.
Yes, they were very sexy. The judges are very into it. I thought that this was a great look for Comfort because I think part of the process of me accepting this format of the All-Stars dancing every week in different styles is just accepting the things that these All-Stars are not going to change at this point. Like, I was kind of critiquing Cyrus last week, but you're right. There are certain things that obviously he's been working on them, but things aren't going to change. So one of those things is like Comfort's feet. They're not great. Mm-hmm. And it's distracting for me a little bit. But then at the same time, it's like, well, I'm focusing on him. I'm focusing on Mark because Comfort is bad in a way that super like draws my eye. Like Cyrus last week a little bit, it was hard not to look at him not being very good. But Comfort was really solid, but in no way outshined him. I feel like she's found in this routine a really good middle ground between Cyrus last week and like Jenna last week, where she's not drawing any attention away, but she's also, you know, being there for him and doing her best and looking great.
Yeah. I think Comfort's a great all-star, and I've always thought this when they used to bring them back just to do their specialization. I think she really does strike that balance, and Twitch was really good at this too, of being amazing themselves, but not pulling focus, which we talk about as a criticism with Kiki, but it's not actually a criticism. It's more of a criticism of Jenna in that situation. But they're really great partners. And, well, yeah, that's not going to win you So You Think You Can Dance, Kiki. It does make you not only a really good dancer in life, but specifically a really employable dancer in life. And like, that's a key thing to be. And so the All-Stars who that's really their focus, I think, to me really shine, because I just think they come off really well. And she strikes that balance really well. You're absolutely right. I love Comfort.
Yeah.
She's great at this.
And he doesn't curse this time, but he's still super energetic, kind of blows Kat's mind with his energy. But they just both look beautiful and stunning. And yeah, I agree with you. His solo was something different. The Bruno Mars comparison was extremely strong in his outfit. I just love these two.
Yeah, I the Bruno Mars thing, I don't know. That's Nigel gets a little bit into the like, you are the same race, and therefore you remind me of someone.
He was wearing the white t-shirt and the black pants that were rolled up at the bottom, kind of a
I don't think of that as I don't know. Whatever. Okay. I love that Kat, when she is introducing them, she laughs when she says Mark's name because he just makes her smile. That made me very happy. She just giggles when she says the name Mark.
Yes, and he's the class clown. So moving on to Koine and Marco, like you said, her solo was something a little bit different. She shows off her flexibility. It didn't really stick too much with me, but it did differentiate her from like every generic contemporary dancer for sure. And their package is about the whole "are you guys a couple" thing that we love so much. And she's just like, and laughs about it. And it's a little uncomfortable. But
well, this was one of those things where that reaction was what was going to happen no matter what the actual situation between her and Marco is. Like, she would have laughed like that if it was completely dramatically platonic. She would have laughed like that if she actively doesn't like him. She would have laughed like that if they were madly in love, or if one of them were gay and it was just like a funny, like, oh my God, you guys are so dumb. Like, every possible answer. Like, this is what you, this is what you do in response to that awkward comment. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's a hilarious joke, guys. So they're going to do a Sean Cheeseman African jazz routine, and they are collectively an insect, which is very Kafka and wonderful. I always like when the male and female partners are in the exact same outfit. That, for me, is always a plus. It's kind of Cirque du Soleil, but I really love it.
Yeah, Sean is another one who came from So You Think You Can Dance Canada. And actually, African Jazz started on the Canadian show with another choreographer who we never saw again. But that's still, that first one is still my all-time favorite African jazz routine on the show. And you can go on my Twitter feed there. I have that updating list, and that's the most recent one I added, was the African jazz with Lisa and Vincent from season one of So You Think You Can Dance Canada. But the thing that I always think of with that one, with the choreographer who I don't know, is it's an incredible, it's how I think of African jazz. It's incredibly joyful and celebratory. And I find that Sean Cheeseman routines, they're cool, and they tend to be very, they're very powerful. But they lean a bit more into, the sort of like nature and the jungle and like tribalism and these sort of strange, like almost stereotypical elements of Africa, as opposed to the, just like what Africa, like human beings doing African dance is, which is a really joyful celebratory thing. So I don't love that about him. Taking that out of the context and thinking about like sort of getting rid of the possibility of doing African jazz the way I like to see African jazz, it was a cool routine. I think it was an interesting jazz routine. I don't actually know that there was that much African jazz content in it, other than like, ooh, the bugs in the jungle is so Africa. But like, it was cool looking. It was neat. I liked that it was weird. I liked that if you were to turn on the television and like your roommate walks by who like completely doesn't watch this show and doesn't know what to expect, walks by and sees this, they would be like, what on earth are you watching?
Especially with the music.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. I love the idea of sort of like a weird art piece being on the show and being accepted by this like screaming 12-year-old girl audience who, you know, might as well be watching the boy band show with that Nick Carter is a judge on. Like, it, you know, they accept this sort of weirder stuff. And I think that points to some of them growing up and being fans of actual dance in the sort of larger world, a lot of which is super weird, like really weird. So I like that. They did it well. I just have some issues with the Sean Cheeseman African jazz style. Although Sean Cheeseman's delightful. He's fun. I'm always happy to see three Canadian choreographers
this
week. Yes,
the Canadian Triple Crown.
Yes. So who said that on Twitter? Somebody said that on Twitter that they did it because you were in Montreal.
Oh, yeah, because we were both in Canada just, like, this week. Lita. That's definitely why it was.
Yeah. Well, I'm always in Canada, but yes.
I don't really know too much about, I know nothing about African jazz. I don't even really know too much about African dance. It seemed like there were some isolated elements of it, of what I know African dance to be, but I can totally, right, exactly.
Moves.
I can totally see how it was more of a cut and pasted African into just a regular jazz routine. That said, I absolutely loved it.
I will also say that Kat's instinct to put the headdress on is exactly why I love her. Like, so many hosts would have been so concerned about like, oh, I don't want to look silly. I don't want to put it on wrong. I don't want to mess with the costume. Like, they just really stay in their place. And Kat has no interest in staying in her place. She'll say anything. She'll like repeat things people say off camera. She'll like go and take the headdress. She oftentimes doesn't seem like she's reading the teleprompter. Like, she just, I love that she put this headdress on. It felt like an encapsulation of the Kat Dealey.
Yeah. And Nigel's like, you look like a feather duster. And without missing a beat, she's like, thank you.
Yes.
It's so good. I can't help but compare her to Christine Leahy, who's the sideline reporter for American Ninja Warrior, who is like the most polished person ever. And I've gone to a taping in person and seen her like between takes, there's a million people touching her hair and she's not interacting with anyone and she's not joking around and everything is just like, I didn't like that take, let's do it again. And so to compare like these two blonde, beautiful, hosts that I watch every week. It's just like a world of difference. Not that Christine isn't great at her job. It's just a different approach.
Well, absolutely. And the other end of it is Erin Andrews on Dancing with the Stars, who we talk about this basically every week, but she's just kind of a mess. Like she kind of tries to be Kat, where she's a little bit more free flowing and she goes off the cuff and she's a little bit more relaxed, but she's such an awkward person that she just like, it's just flub city. And she'll often say things like, ask them a question. They'll just be like, what? Yeah.
If that's the kind of blonde lady you are, stick with the Christine approach. It's a great approach. If you have the personality of Kat Dealey, which no one else in the world does, but if you do, then go with the Kat approach.
It's one of those things where like, she's got this really, really generic seeming job, right? She could very well be a very generic person. She's just a pretty blonde who's a host. She doesn't have any real discernible quote unquote talents, but she's so good at this particular thing. She's really special and she's found her lane and she's driven down that lane. I just think that's really good job, Kat. I just think she's super special without being like someone with an actual talent. I love that.
Here's my great transition of the week. Speaking of people with actual talent, here's Lex and Gabby. They've been growing closer every day, which I guess maybe is true, but they've known each other, as we know, for a long time. So I think they probably started out close. Yeah. The show is trying to be like, wow, look how close they got in this short amount of time. Like,
yeah, I also think that they said that transition and then the package in no way indicated
they're just
closeness.
Like, it's awkward when we
it was about. Yeah. Although I kind of like that. I think that's kind of funny anytime you have friends, and you see this a lot. Like it happens on Dancing with the Stars all the time. And that's sometimes an age gap issue too. But like the sort of weird childish giggling when they have to play sexy, I think is
especially
really funny.
Especially because Lex's girlfriend, as we know, is right there.
Oh my God. Are we sure?
I don't even remember who it was. Is it Taylor?
Taylor, and that's what's so upsetting about it too, right? It's just like the mediocrity. That's upsetting. I don't know. I'm gonna call that an unverified fact.
We don't want to spread rumors. Does it make me a cougar that Lex was looking really good in this rehearsal?
Fascinating. I am so not into Lex. He doesn't speak. I need people who speak. It just says a very basic requirement. Does it make you a cougar? No, because it's only, what, 4 years? Okay, because if it's 4 years, I'm not allowed to.
I think it's the difference between being a teenager and a non-teenager.
Oh, okay. So like 26 to 22 is fine, but 22 to 18. What is it? It's divide your age in half and then add 7. So 22,
perfect.
11, 8. He's right on the end. Just barely squeaks in there. I think you could go, let's go to a live taping and then you can steal him from Taylor
right
for his own
eyes.
Good. I think that's a good, I'm gonna start deploying you to break up couples I don't like.
We're so invested in these teenagers' relationships.
I don't know. Is 18, because 18 is definitively an adult. I know it's technically a teenager in that there's the word teen in 18, but don't you stop being a teenager when you turn 18?
I don't know. I hope not. I feel like I don't like to look back at my 18-year-old self and be like, that was an adult person.
But it was technically an adult. Like, did you vote that year?
I don't remember. It wasn't an election year.
It was 4 years.
I wasn't old enough to vote at the time of the election. My birthday's late. I'm like a young for my grade person, if that makes sense.
Okay.
I didn't intentionally vote in the election. I was a senior in high school. I was 17.
Either way, Lex is technically legal. So get your crush on. I mean, I have a really big crush on Tom Holland, so I'm just, and that's super creepy. That's like a 7 year age difference, so like let's just go with it.
Yeah, we'll just go. If I didn't comment on all the people that I found handsome on these podcasts, I would not have like half my material.
Yeah, that's your MO. That's like, I love that on that's my favorite thing about the American Ninja Warrior podcast. Just Terrence trying to like talk about their form and you're like, with that beard, and he's like, I don't care. But I love it. I love it so much. But the beard.
Beard is important. No one on So You Think You Can Dance ever has a beard. Because they're all 12.
Yeah, that. Well, also, not a lot of dancers have beards. I know that the National Ballet makes them shave their beards when they come back from.
Oh, I'm suddenly extremely anti-ballet.
Well, have you ever seen a dancer, like a lot of them, and I wonder if this has something to do with partnering or what, but like, you don't see a lot of dancers with beards.
I guess I've,
No, that's our revelation of the
now
day.
Now I'm really sad.
Dancers don't have beards. Yeah, I'm literally trying to think if we've ever had someone with a beard. I don't think we have on this
I
show.
I feel like maybe mustaches, like not full blown ones, but they have like,
like sexy.
Yeah, Kiki has like some facial hair going on right now. Anyway.
Yeah, I guess.
Staying on track. Lex and Gabby are going to do an Argentine tango by Leonardo and Miriam. And they need to have a lot of chemistry that I don't think they ended up pulling off. What do you think?
No, I don't necessarily blame them on the chemistry part. I think that I understand wanting to pick your friend. I don't necessarily think it's that good of an idea, like a good strategy, because Lex could have had anyone he wanted. I do think that maybe it was a bit more of a risk, but in terms of getting on the show, but I think most people, if Lex was on their team, they would have picked Lex for their team, like to be their partner. I don't know. I don't think I would have picked my friend. And I think part of it is this. I think that you have to have a different chemistry than a pre-existing friendship. And I also think it's one of the appeals of the show, watching the partnerships develop. And we just don't get that with Gabby and Lex, because we just missed so much of their relationship developing. So I think they are at a sort of weird disadvantage of how well developed the platonicness is in their relationship. Whereas even all the other couples are platonic too, but it's not as set in stone that this is what their dynamic is. They don't have that like brother sister thing happening yet. They just have the people who've just met each other thing happening. So I don't blame them that much. I mean, the chemistry was obviously lacking. That wasn't my main problem. I thought this was kind of muddy. And I think, and I criticized this with Robert and Taylor last week, and it's because of the how well-trained these people are and how strong I expect them to be. What I know that they can do when they walk into that first rehearsal room and pick up the routine in an hour, because we saw them pick up so many routines in an hour during Academy Week. I know they can do it. So anytime it's muddy, to me, it says that it's under-rehearsed. Because if you can pick it up in an hour, you have the rest of the week to perfect it. And that's not something someone like Kiki, when he's doing hip hop, has the luxury of doing, or someone like Cyrus doing ballroom, whatever. It takes them longer to pick up the choreography, so they don't have as much time to refine it. But this should have been better rehearsed, and it made me angry because that's a pure effort issue.
Yeah, the leg locks were really, really messy. They somehow still looked like tap dancing sometimes, which I thought was funny. Like, they were just so fast and so heavy. And it seemed like they were always looking where they were going. Like, not even just like sometimes you're supposed to look ahead if you're walking in that direction. But like, it just seemed like they were like anticipating the next move and like looking at the floor. And like, yeah, I agree with you. It's under rehearsed. That's what it was. I really wasn't into this.
Did they get criticized? I forget.
They got criticized on their kind of lack of connection at some points and the lack of passion. Yeah, they didn't really seem to be clocked too much for the style.
Annoying. I think they're not paying attention. I think they're like, oh, Lex is the best technical dancer, so we're just gonna assume he did a good job.
Yeah, I think that I'm happy that this happened, though, because I feel like Lex and Gabby could easily just like walk to the end, at least to the top three. So I feel like it might not impact anything long term, but I'm not like hoping that this causes them to go home, because I actually do like Lex a lot. But I think it's, you know, humbling for them and a good thing to get out of the way to kind of keep them focused and not get too confident or anything like that.
But if they didn't get criticism, how are they going to clock the fact that they have to work
harder? They got criticism on their partnership, which I think is at least something, because I don't think Lex has really gotten any criticism except for his personality the entire time.
I don't know.
Time.
I think it's a closely held principle of mine to criticize when things need to be criticized so that they can believe you when you praise them. And I think that it was necessary to criticize the technique in this, because at a certain point, if they just keep getting the same, your chemistry and your personality, they won't know what to do with that. I am actually a little bit worried that Lex is not going to get the votes. I remember Gabby being really popular, so that might drag him along, but I could see him going out in the middle somewhere right after the judges lose their saving mechanism thing that they have. It's going to be maybe not the next, but maybe the last nail in the coffin of the great pagonging of Team Step Up.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is bold. We are only 1 week into this thing. There is not going to be a great pagonging.
Great pagonging of Team Step Up. I'm excited about it. It's gonna happen
until fiction wins and you're salty on all fronts.
Fiction's gonna win. No, but I think I don't know. So I'm not actually that confident in Lex and Gabby's long term shot here, but that's okay. You do have Logan and Allison, and that they're going to be in the top. So it won't be a full pagong. It'll just be a general loss.
All right. Great. I can't wait. I feel good about Gabby and Lex, but I also felt good about Robert and Jasmine. So what do I know? Taylor is up next. Is it sexist for me to say that she's literally wearing underwear? Like, this is not dancewear. This is a matching bra and panty set. Am I allowed to comment on that?
Well, I don't think it's sexist. I just think it's realistic, because you would have said the same thing if someone looked like they were dancing in their boxers.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Is this her solo?
Yeah, her solo. Her solo in quotes, because it was really just a series of tilts.
Yeah, her whatever solo. I think this happens a lot, especially in the initial auditions. I feel like people just show up in the I know that dance clothing is revealing, but like, come on.
There's a difference between skimpy and literally having lace on it and being like see-through.
Yeah.
I felt like I have seen this at Victoria's Secret.
I don't understand Taylor. I don't. Is she trying to like... Is that her way of distinguishing herself? Like, she's trying to be the sexy one because she's trying to find sort of like an in that doesn't exist with the other, like what the cast is missing essentially, because she's so generic that she's like, I'll be the, I can't be the funny one. I'll be the sexy one. I actually thought Sydney's solo this week was really sexy, which I don't usually like ballroom solos, but I thought she was stronger and sexier than I've ever seen her. So I don't know, Taylor, just be yourself and have that be okay. Like, just do your thing. Wear some clothing. It doesn't have to be that much, but it does have to be made for dancing. I just feel like I can't see Taylor clearly. I just want her to be more herself, whoever that is. I have to believe it's more interesting than the weird, filtered, perfect person who is being presented to us.
Yeah. And on the other end of things, she's going to do a Broadway routine with Robert by Al Blackstone, and she's wearing a dress that is just too much. I don't know what costuming is up to this season, but also the lighting here is so soft. I like can't even, they spend the whole package talking about acting in their faces and the lighting is so blue. I can't even see their faces. So I feel like there were a couple things wrong with this on a production side. It's to a Judy Garland song. This is such a nothing routine to me. What did you think?
Well, my first issue is that Al Blackstone says that this is going to be a film noir 1940s Fred and Ginger routine. That is, those are totally unrelated things.
Like, Phil's just saying words.
No, yeah, he is. He's just saying words. It's like he heard words, a bunch of different words that he knew related to the 40s. People do this with costuming sometimes, where they're like, this happened in the 40s and this happened in the 40s. So we'll put them in the same scene because those are the 40s things, without contemplating the fact that there are like a decade is more than, you know, two things. So this drives me crazy. Film noir is this very specific film genre that's specifically tied to crime. And Fred and Ginger, no, it's a totally unrelated thing.
And Fred and Ginger aren't the same as Bonnie and Clyde? Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
That's shocking.
They're not even film noir. They're like caper, whatever. But like... It made me pretty mad. Just because if you're going to evoke something, maybe know what it is. And it just felt very, and also this is, Nigel's favorite style of routine. Everyone knows this. It is incredibly easy to cater to Nigel. So he did. And I think his lack of knowledge about the terms he was using suggests that maybe he just was catering to Nigel more than actually doing something he was passionate about doing, because he didn't know what he was doing. And I also, my other note here, again, not about the routine, because my thoughts on the routine are just, it was pretty, but whatever. Vanessa insists on calling Broadway musical theater. And I love that because Broadway is a street. It's just a street. It's a very cool street, but it's just a street. And the American show insists that Broadway, I mean, it is considered like it's a term we use as a substitute, but there are so many brilliant, quote unquote, Broadway shows that never made it to Broadway. There are so many brilliant, like some of the iconic ones are West End shows that then maybe did a short tour to Broadway or maybe never played Broadway. Like, and Broadway also does a lot of plays. So I think that that's one of those things sort of like Kleenex for tissue where we use the word, but it doesn't actually accurately capture what the word is. And a lot of Broadway in the show, they're really actually talking about musical movies, which has nothing to do with Broadway. It happens on a different coast. So
right.
I like that she insisted on calling it musical theater because she's an honest to God musical theater person and she knows the difference. And that made me happy.
Yes, and happy 10th anniversary to High School Musical 2. That was yesterday. So, speaking of Vanessa Hudgens' illustrious musical theater background.
Things Lita knows.
Matt Liguori was tweeting all about it. It's the same day as his birthday. So, this routine... musical theater, Broadway, whatever you want to call it on this particular show is also my favorite style. So, this was really disappointing for me. I thought Robert looked great, but... I'm wondering if like these gorgeous, sparkly T-strap character shoes were like slippery or something, which is like possible. She just seemed to be like there's no precision. Her leaps weren't even like what obviously I know that Taylor can do in a leap because she is really flexible and that's what her whole solo was. Even just like the standard leaps weren't good. So I don't know what was going on here, but I did not enjoy this routine at all.
It was under rehearsed. All the people who are too confident in their own technique are not putting in the work and it's making me angry.
Yes. So I have nothing more to say about that. So we're going to move on to Kiki and Jenna, where I can honestly not even improve my mood at all. So Kiki and Jenna are going to have hip hop. And I have mixed feelings when I see that they're doing hip hop, because I'm so happy that Jenna's doing hip hop because Jenna is great at hip hop. But I also feel like it should be illegal for Kiki to ever do hip hop again after his hip hop round in the Academy. So they have a Luther Brown routine. And I hate that everybody's acting like, oh, it's these two ballroom dances. Will they be able to do hip hop? Like, we know Jenna can do hip hop. We have so much evidence for this. So I don't really
also
think that we...
Also the easiest routine ever. Luther went so easy on them.
Yeah. So they have these completely unacceptable Suicide Squad costumes under which Kiki doesn't really have to do anything because it's just like looking... cool and committing to the role, and that counts as hip-hop apparently.
Yeah, like, there was a lot of standing around, like he shot a money cannon at her.
That does not count as dance. Jenna standing there in the coat and him shooting the money gun was a waste of 15 seconds out of like a minute and a half routine.
It was strategic though. I mean, first of all, because I do think that if you weren't really paying that much attention, like if you weren't looking at the amount of content in the routine, they didn't look bad. They pulled it off. And they assessed Kiki's ability and they moved the bar. And that's strategic and smart and they didn't look bad. And I always prefer when something is really hard, but I'd kind of rather see something easy executed well than something hard executed badly, maybe, depending on who it is. If you know someone's super mediocre, do that. If there's any chance they're going to pass a higher bar, though, it's so cool. It's so satisfying to see somebody who you don't think can do it, do it. So I would have liked the bar a little bit higher. But I actually thought that this was Kiki's most likable segment. I liked that he called it the hippity hop. I thought that was really funny. I'm liking Jenna makes fun of him quite relentlessly. And I think that's so humanizing and so interesting. And that makes me like them a bit more. The fact that she teases him. I'd been feeling a little bit like she was maybe a little intimidated by Kiki and was just sort of, she was acting around him right the way a kind of dumb girl acts around a cute boy. And I found that disappointing to see her sort of poking fun at him a little bit, even if it is still sort of just generic flirting. I think that's a little bit more fun. I liked them more at the end of this segment than I did, and certainly even at the end of this routine than I did before. I will say that if this gets them really far, if we now are like, hey, Kiki can do hip hop, that's crazy. That's definitely not fair. I did like praying to the Lord to send down the swag. I thought that was funny because Luther's the best. And if you want to see Jenna do a much better Suicide Squad routine, the week that Sharna was injured on Dancing with the Stars 2 seasons ago, she subbed in to partner James Hinchcliffe, who was my favorite that season. And they did a Joker, like a Suicide Squad waltz to You Don't Own Me. And it was amazing. It's my favorite routine of that year. It was so, so good. So Google or YouTube James Hinchcliffe and Jenna Suicide Squad. And that's really the routine to watch if you want to see Jenna do her Harley Quinn thing.
This was just... I'm happy that you like them more as a couple, because I'm still in on them. It just felt so unfair that the judges are just eating this up because they're comparing it to his previous literal inability to do hip hop. Like, we need to understand that his hip hop round in the Academy was not him doing hip hop very badly. It was him not doing it at all. Like, he couldn't pick it up. And that, I get that it's fast, but I just don't think that it's fair to compare this routine to that and be like, wow, you've improved so much. That was so great. When they're going to critique people who I think did better just because they're comparing it to people's past performances rather than what the standard should actually be. And even like, Kiki committed to this, but he has the same face the whole time. Jenna is kind of like performing the crap out of this and like smiling at some points and giving a stank face at some points. And Kiki just is like not even really performing. He just picked one expression and like that counts as acting in this routine, I guess. This, everything about this really frustrated me.
I mean, even if I start to like him even a little bit personality wise, the crushing mediocrity of Kiki is still overwhelming. Yes. I think that the secret for us is going to be just coming to terms with the fact that the judges are nonsense. Like, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they're trying to set up winners or if they're just showing their own who I like, who I don't like prejudice, or if they're actually just blind, but they're wrong 99% of the time. And it's going to make us so mad because I think, and I do this all the time with like movies or something where I'll see a perfectly fine movie that everybody else loved and it'll make me hate the movie. Just because I think that the reaction is wrong and I always feel the need to correct the reaction. And so the only way to pull an overreaction, an overly positive reaction to something medium to an appropriate level is to be like, okay, but here are all these 75 problems with it. Whereas if there's a movie everybody hates that I think was also fine, I'll, you know, say here are 75 great things about it. So I think for our ability to judge the routines themselves and say this was fine, like it was a really overly simple routine in that we have problems with that. But it wasn't terribly executed or anything like that. The biggest problem with it is that the judges are being quite unfair with how much they're willing to just be like, that was amazing. And Taylor and Robert are the team to beat. And you guys are the front runners, and you are this, and you are, and you're the amazing. If we're not seeing that, the number of times Nigel tells us that it's there, it's not going to change our minds. Yeah. But it might change the minds of the voters. And that's quite concerning.
Yeah. And then it's paired with the fact that Kiki Solo is literally every single male ballroom solo we've ever seen for all time.
Yes. Ballroom solos are dumb. I don't they're all bad. Except I said Sydney had at least had a good energy this week, but for like, it's not a solo genre. Like, they don't have anything to do, so they just do like basic hips. I will say, I think he has a wobbly torso. I don't know if you've noticed this. He, not like a jiggly torso. Like, there's no fat on it, but like, it's wobbly. So I don't know if that's intentional. I don't think that it's supposed to be like that.
Amazing.
So that's my sophisticated criticism of Kiki's ballroom technique, is that I think he has a wobbly torso.
Wobbly, but not jiggly. Important distinction. Yes. We are not body shaming Kiki.
It's wobbly. Like, he's like on a hinge where his hips are, and it wobbles. Like a bobblehead if the spring were lower. And I will say, the Schmirkovskis don't wobble, is all I'm saying.
And they don't fall down. Now yeah. That we have that important distinction between wobbly and jiggly, we can move on to Kaylee and Cyrus, who they got hip hop this week because I really feel like the producers were throwing them a bone, because they're like, oh crap, what if Cyrus gets eliminated next week and yep. He hasn't done hip hop yet? So they're going to do that. And it's with Phoenix and Farside. And at first they're like, okay, so the story is that they're aliens. And I was like, no, I cannot do. We've had bugs and we've had these villain. Like, no, we're not. I can't do this anymore. It's too gimmicky. But they're not dressed like aliens. The concept is that like, they're dressed like people, but they're aliens learning how to dance or something. Which is a fine concept. They both have blue hair, which I like, because it made me think of like on Drag Race when the queens get someone to make up in drag and have a family resemblance. It kind of reminded me of that. And, you know, it's great to see Cyrus shine again. I wasn't totally blown away by this routine. I thought the acro yoga bit was cool, but took a little too long for what it was and didn't really fit that much into the routine. It was just like shoehorned in. But nothing besides that was super memorable for me. What did you think?
Oh, I have so thoroughly drunk the blue Kool-Aid on these guys. I love them so much. First of all, I love Farside and Phoenix. We don't see nearly enough of them. They're always awesome. I thought this routine was cool. At one point she looked like she was on wires. It was really neat. I think it was Nigel who said, I don't know what happened to Impavido last week, but she's back, sort of indicating that Impavido is like her swagger. And so I'm just like, call her Impavido. Like, I know what happened to Impavido. You called her Kaylee and wouldn't let her be Impavido. So she might feel like a weird muted version of herself, especially if you fought for the right to be known as something. And then someone's like, nah, you're not that. So like, even though it's purely symbolic, I would very much like for them to call her Impavido, especially because Nigel did invoke it this week. This idea of Impavido as her like cool vibe, I guess. This is great. I love Cyrus back to full Cyrus power. And also just like in their package, he said, I only want what's best for you. And he's just so, I just love them so much. And they make my heart so happy. And there's going to come a point partway through the season when I'm torn. And this is always what happens with Cyrus, where my love of him and my wanting the right dancers to win will come into conflict. And because he should, you know, he was in the top four in his season, and that's completely inappropriate. So we shall see. But at the moment, we're still at the top nine, and I just love them dearly. They make my heart sing. And Team Blue Hair, for sure.
Yeah, and I like that she incorporated some kind of signature Cyrus style into her contemporary solo.
Yeah, it had like animation stuff, because she's on Team Cyrus. Like, she's so, like, I feel like they are a team in a way none of the others are a team.
Yeah.
Like, they're all in together. I love this. I hope he keeps his hair blue. Like, it just, they feel so much as a unit and not like a contestant and their all-star or the all-star leading the contestant. Like, it, I just love them so much.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to Paul and Sydney, and they have a contemporary routine, and Sydney can deeply relate to the struggles of the world because she moved from Utah to pursue dance in LA. So she has faced hardship that she's going to channel into this routine.
Everybody moved from Utah to pursue their dreams in LA. Yeah, but she left a relationship behind, Lita. Did you miss that part?
Oh, I may have. I don't know.
I thought this was super conventional, but really lovely. I'm a sucker for this. Like, I love like a very acty, sweet contemporary that's not, it's like not too melodramatic. I don't
not
like those
think
acty
this was
ones.
Too melodramatic. Oh, no, I disagree. I think it was probably the Melissa Etheridge, which is not their fault, but.
Oh, see, I love me like a cheesy song. Like, I would so much rather have a cheesy, like, all heart, all the time song than like a cool, like Ingrid Michaelson, like, aren't we so cool? Like an acapella, like, oh, stop it.
I just feel like this routine might as well have been to like, and I will always love you or something, where it was just so.
And I would be fine with
so
that.
So schmaltzy. I don't know. This was definitely OTT for me.
I really liked it. I thought it was so sweet. I thought the acting on both sides was really good. I thought they were really genuine. I really like Ernest. It's really important to me. Yeah. I think that, our generation has gotten so ironic, and we like things ironically. And I just, and you have to, it has to be cool. I don't like cool. I want you to just tell me the truth. And I thought this was sweet and earnest and unabashed. And I like that about it. And I like Paul, and I am this week with, cause I also really liked your solo. I have come around on Sydney. I'm in, and I'm so happy that I'm in because they were the fifth place team on my draft team. Like they were the only somewhat weak link. And even though I still don't think they're going to go super far, I really like them. And I thought this was lovely. And it takes a lot for me to think something's cheesy because I think Ernest is important. And I like silly songs.
Yeah, I'm still extremely not in on Sydney. I really thought her solo was also not really anything. Maybe it was because it was to a song that I hate, but this just really didn't do anything for me. It seemed like the same kind of typical ballroom solo. The same kind
what
of
what was her solo song?
Swish Swish by
God, yeah, that's a terrible song. terrible.
So I don't know, it seemed like Kiki is where it was just like a generic ballroom solo routine, which I agree with you, it's not really fair because ballroom solos are stupid. But this is just not a partnership that I think I'm ever gonna be on board with.
Oh, I like them. I think they're sweet. I don't know what it is about Paul. He's just, I love him. I think he's so, there's a kindness to him that I find really appealing. And I liked it. It was so genuine. It was sweet.
So we move on to Robert and Jasmine. So Robert's solo, I felt like my heart is breaking. I feel like this was such a good example of a solo because it was like a whole routine in 30 seconds. Like he really took complete advantage of those 30 seconds. He did what he does, which is so unique and so different. I am so upset. Kelly, I'm so sad. He gets emotional when he's talking to Jasmine. It's so beautiful. They do a contemporary routine by Stacey Tookie, and I don't know. It's not my favorite contemporary. It didn't like super blow me away, but it did make me forget that he's not a contemporary dancer, which is what matters. I wasn't watching this being like, his feet or his extensions. Like I was watching this not thinking, oh, this isn't his style.
He was so much better at contemporary than I thought he'd be. He was great. I also have to say Jasmine with no makeup is just so crazy beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, my note literally just says what's Nigel talking about? Like, I didn't understand any of the criticisms here. I thought it was a beautiful routine. I didn't like, this is a direction thing, but we were on a long shot or a wide shot for the big lift. And that annoyed me because I feel like it didn't show it off. Right. But it was lovely. It was beautiful. And it showed that he had more range than, people were expecting, I guess, but it is confusing because he was in the bottom three based on last week's votes, which means he had to be in the bottom three based on the Academy edit, because there is no way any reasonable person would have put his routine, like would have not voted for his previous routine. So I don't know. I do think he might have gotten eliminated here because his second routine wasn't as good as his first routine. And that was a troubling pattern, I guess, for the judges, but it's not a pattern if it's only two. Yeah. But I don't know. I like Paul and Sydney, so it wasn't the worst thing.
Yeah. Nigel says he doesn't feel the connection. And for once I'm completely with Vanessa, because she says it made my heart hurt and that means something. And I completely agree with her. I thought it was gorgeous. And it just really frustrates me because they're so hype for Kiki because he can do a really easy, compared to the rest of the routines, hip hop routine. And then, you know, Robert takes on this very challenging, I thought, contemporary routine that has all this acting and all of this technique in it. And because he doesn't completely knock it out of the park, the judges can't give him any credit.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the judges are heavily biased. And one of the problems with this year that I don't seem to remember having as much with previous years is Vanessa's such a follower that, and she's such a weak voice at the table that if she disagrees, it does get a little swallowed up. She really liked this routine and she didn't come out strongly enough for it. And I think that these judges in particular, especially Nigel, are so subjective. Like, he is so colored by being a producer and which all-stars he wants to keep and, you know, which dancers are big in the dance world and who, you know, he's got all these things coloring him, because there is you're absolutely right. There is no reason why Kiki should have gotten a better criticism than Robert on this. Robert came so much further out of his style. Like, he did a better job outside of his style by such a large margin than Kiki did out of his style. And so those are pretty direct comparisons because they were both out of their style. And like, it's totally crazy how, when you put those two criticisms next to each other, how they stack up, and you can see his bias showing. And the only way to combat bias, and I say this all the time with theater and film criticism, is there's really no way for a critic to eliminate all their bias. But what you can do is there need to be lots of critical voices happening so that there's a balance and the consensus isn't a consensus. And it creates you can sort of average it out and figure out what the truth is, or find someone who you usually agree with and agree with them. And I think that you need a diverse panel. And I think that this panel isn't nearly diverse enough because they just sort of follow Nigel. And that's where we're all just getting biased. And then that bias gets confirmed, which sucks because Vanessa is not strong enough to voice her opposition.
Yeah, step it up, Vanessa.
We really need her to be.
Step up, if you will.
Yeah.
No. So yeah, yes, put center your voice stage, at the will. Center of the stage, Vanessa. You need to. It's important. So the last routine of the night is Dassey and Fiction. So like I mentioned, her solo is great. She's so good. Her hair looks great. I love her. And she's gonna do a Bollywood routine with Fiction. What do you think about this routine?
I think that they don't have the stamina for it. I think Bollywood gets underestimated a little bit, but it's probably the highest energy. Like, it requires the most stamina through straight to the end of the routine. And they did definitely lose it by the end. That said, I loved this. I thought a good Bollywood routine is amazing. I just thought it was great. She is such a better dancer than him, though. I was thinking that the entire time. And I was like, maybe, you know what, though? Kudos to him. At least he didn't pick someone. Like, my bad opinion of fiction and his needing to be center of attention all the time. I could have seen him picking someone who was worse than him just so he didn't look bad. So maybe he just didn't see this coming, but I'm at least glad that she's on his team, even though she makes him look bad, because she really does.
Yeah, it's way better for the contestant to make the all-star look bad than the other way around, though. So I'm fine with this. I think that it's impressive that they were able to pull this off, how well they did, even though it did look like they were getting a little tired at the end. She's never looked more beautiful. Oh, my God. She looked incredible. Thank God that costuming did something right this time. No offense.
They're pretty good at the costumes.
Yes, definitely. And her charisma really showed through. That's one thing that she has more of than potentially any other female contestant. Is that a bold statement? I think Kaylee does have a lot of personality, but I think that Dassey's charisma is the biggest in these routines.
Shy women on this season.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking about the all-star women, and they're really dynamic. And a lot of the women, even the ones whose personalities I really like, are really quite muted. Like, they're quiet people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm happy that she's at least, you know, coming through as a really big personality when she performs, basically whatever style she's doing. So this is good. I'm happy for Dassey and Fiction, even though I know you are anxious about their prospects of marching to the end. But this was good. And I love seeing Bollywood. I don't know anything about how accurate it is, but
I don't know. I think Nicole seems pretty legit.
Yeah.
I think so too. Slumdog guy. I feel like he was that was one of those things where he did one big Hollywood project, and then So You Think You Dance was like, oh, he's the only Bollywood person.
That's the thing I should know, because Slumdog Millionaire is actually my favorite movie that people actually consider a good movie.
Oh my God.
My favorite movie is another time.
Holy.
I love that movie. I love it so much.
Totally inconsistent. Although Dev Patel is the king of my heart, so whatever.
Yeah, but it has the most attractive person to ever walk the earth as the star. And
What's her face?
Both of them, but I was referring to Dev Patel. Frida Pinto.
Yeah. Oh, he's delightful. I kind of love that he's not actually that. I mean, he's super handsome, but he's not like crazy generically super handsome. He's got he's got this personality. He's just delightful.
He's a beautiful person, and I love that movie. So, but I should know who the choreographer was for that Jai Ho routine.
I think it was Nicole, but I might be being a little bit racist there. So sorry, man.
This is one of our listeners who's smarter than us, let us know, because I will probably forget to Google it.
You keep talking.
We have the most important thing of the episode, which is that Blessin is back with her team from Baltimore. So she was the one who auditioned at the beginning of the season, but they told her, Nigel was like, we'd love to have your whole team come and be on the show. So he actually followed through. So they are starring in a new documentary about stepping called Step, and they perform with the All-Stars in their group, the Lethal Ladies of Baltimore. And I'm really happy that the show followed through on this and made time for it while we wait for our results.
First of all, the choreographer of Slumdog Millionaire is a guy named Longi Fernandez. So sorry, all Indian people, for being so racist. I thought they had said that Nicole did it. Anyway, step routine. I love me some Step. We know this. There's a 20-minute lecture on the history of Step in one of our first episodes. And I love Blessin. She's a ball of sunshine and a really impressive person. So my main thought here was I really, really would have preferred no All-Stars.
Yes, me as well.
Couple reasons. One, it is a type of or a style of dance very specifically tied to Black culture. And then secondarily, it's very tied to maleness. So the whole point of this troupe is that it's an all-female troupe. At what point, love him as though I do, I did not need to see Paul in this group doing step dancing with these people. Like,
yeah,
you know, Comfort I'm cool with because she meets the two criteria that are necessary, I think, for this group. But the impact was that it was a crowd of Black women doing this incredibly powerful thing that is a male art form traditionally that they've taken back. Like, That's what I wanted. And then to put the All-Stars in, there was no reason. They were dancing plenty in the episode. It's not like it was actually necessary. There were enough women in this troupe. I don't think that we needed the... I know Nigel has this idea that step only works with a giant number of people, but it would have worked with the troupe that they brought.
Yeah, it started out with just the troupe before they brought the All-Stars on, and it was plenty powerful.
Absolutely. And I just really, really would have preferred. And also, this isn't their style, so a lot of them didn't do it super well. So I would have...
Yeah, watching Marco do something that he's not great at was
very
weird.
Upsetting. Very upsetting, right? Because he's so good at basically everything he does on the show. And so, and he's more graceful than stepping required. You know, he's not an aggressive guy. And that's one of the things I love about him. It would have been so much more powerful if they had just let this group of Black women do their thing. And instead they were like, oh, but Robert has to do it too.
No. We must see Allison tackle this.
Yeah. Allison, at least Allison's female though, right? Like it's just like Robert gets to do everything. Let these women have their one thing.
Yeah, I completely agree. But I am happy that they got the platform and that the show followed through with this at all, because I had kind of forgotten about it.
Yeah. Are we done with our routine? We didn't talk about Allison and Logan.
Oh, we didn't talk about Allison and Logan. I just totally skipped them in my notes, which is funny because actually they are now the team that I think I'm going to say I'm the most in on. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, Logan Solo, as I mentioned, is wonderful. I feel like the way that he moves just somehow speaks to me and gives me a feeling in my stomach, which is what I look for, I think, in a lot of dance on this show, where it's like sometimes I can't really quantify why I love someone or if they're actually a better dancer, but they just give me a feeling in my tummy, and that's what matters.
That's art, man.
Yeah,
art and love, that's just it.
Yeah, and so Logan makes me feel like that. I'm happy that he's back with Allison. We have to be honest, the only reason he was in the bottom this week was because he was dancing with Audrey, who no one's ever heard of last week.
Who knows? You could tell that the judges were thrown by it. So who knows? He loves her so much. I've never seen someone so excited for another human being to walk into a room before. Like, he was so, and I've been to Comic-Con, so that's saying something. Like, he loves her, which was so cute. He's got like a little, I don't know if it's a crush or a hero worship situation or what's going on there, but he loves her so much.
I mean, this is like, he was probably like 7 when he watched her on season 2, and he's probably just loved her. Honestly, I would be like this if I met Ivan and I'm 4 years older than him. Like, I really just think it's like,
Ivan.
What is wrong with my affinity for Ivan?
There's nothing wrong with your affinity for Ivan. It's just so funny.
But I think that these people, much like myself, you know, grew up really, really just these people were more important than like A-list celebrities. Like when I was in middle school and everybody had crushes on like the people who were on Gossip Girl or whatever, I only cared about...
You were in middle school when Gossip Girl was on. Oh my God. I was in university. Oh my God.
Well, it was a long show. It lasted for a long time. I was also in high school when Gossip Girl was on. But
no, it was my first year of university was when it started.
The point is, when everybody else was crushing on like Chase Crawford or whatever, I only cared about people who were on Survivor and So You Think You Can Dance. It was like the only...
Who's your big Survivor crush?
At the time,
this is off topic, but I need
it was
to know.
Ian Rosenberger. He's from my hometown. He was on Survivor Palau. Which is my favorite.
That's from the period that I didn't watch in the middle. He's hella cute.
Yeah, and Ethan Zone.
Oh well, duh. Yes. That's not you having specific personal taste. Oh, that is a universally acknowledged, absolutely, of course, situation. Yeah,
of course. But it was people on So You Think You Can Dance and people on Survivor that I really cared about. So I imagine if I was in Logan's shoes and, you know, he had seen Allison all these years, I would be like this as well. probably worse.
That's true. And it is also kind of interesting that we have so few All-Stars from the early seasons that Allison really does feel like the biggest deal, even though she's not actually a bigger deal than the other contestants. It's just that she's been, you know, she's just so established on the show, and she does feel like a throwback.
Yeah.
Where she's just had a longer tenure or whatever.
Yeah. And it's also great because Allison was his age when she was on the show. So I think it's like a really nice relationship there.
Yeah. We forget about Allison because she seems so grown up. She has a daughter, and she had a daughter quite young, and she just seems so mature, and she was on when she was so young. So she's been around for so long that I think she might be 1 year older than me or a little bit. Yeah. Like she's right around my age. And I think of her as someone who's significantly older than me and, you know, got her life together.
Yeah. But I think that that relationship, she can really connect to what he's going through and being in his shoes. And I really like this partnership. And I'm happy that they got to do this routine. It was kind of weird, but I really liked it. It was a Brian Friedman jazz routine. And this premise makes no sense to me. So it's a blind date, but it's set in the future, but they're also blind. So it's a blind date in two senses, but that didn't come through.
Wordplay.
But that didn't come through in the dance at all. They're wearing these goggles for like 2 seconds and they take them off and they don't appear to be blind in any sense. They're like making eye contact. It didn't really make sense to me, but I did like the routine.
Yeah, this is one of those things where I feel like there's a producer mandate that says you have to have a story. Yeah. And Brian was like, well, I have a cool jazz routine, so I'll just like say it's about this.
Yeah, and they're going to wear these Lady Gaga circa paparazzi outfits. And that's the same thing as the story.
I didn't think this sort of style was Allison's strong suit. It was a little weird for her. I think of her as quite conventional, and I don't know that this was her thing, really. Although I do appreciate that Brian did a whole thing where he's like, we're doing jazz, not contemporary, which brings me to Brian, would you please, for the good of everyone, just define the terms for us? Because this was clearly jazz, not contemporary. And there's a very basic pointed toe versus flexed foot situation. But everything is just one big mess of a, like everything looks like everything on this show. The lines between genres are not clear. And I just think, because a lot of times the jazz is just fast contemporary on this show. So I very much like a lesson. I would like him to go on the stage and just be like, okay, and walk cat through it or something. Here are the different genres of dance.
Yeah.
It'd be very helpful.
Yes. Then everyone could learn something. So this is just a moment. I think this whole episode was a moment for me with really connecting with Logan's style of movement. He just has an amount of body control that I don't know if I've seen since like Ricky or someone like that, where he does give me Ricky vibes. And I just feel like he has this beautiful way that he moves his body, and he is able to connect with Allison. This is kind of a sensual routine, and I feel like they are really able to pull it off in a way where I'm sure they struggled with some of the awkwardness that these other couples dealt with this episode, but I felt like they pulled it off in a way that some of the other couples couldn't.
Yeah, I also think that one of the reasons that surprised me with Lex and Gabby at least a little bit was they're professionals, and they're working professionals. You know, they've been sort of out in the world executing for a while now, even though Lex is quite young. And that's just one of those things that comes eventually. You know, like if you talk to actors, they talk about kissing scenes and like general love scenes as it's just blocking.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, there's now a thing where stage intimacy is being, they're bringing choreographers and they're choreographing it the same way you choreograph a fight sequence. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's just part of the job. And I think that's something that comes with maturity and experience, which is why it was a little bit surprising from Lex and Gabby. I think the fact that we didn't see it at all here, I think it's a very Allison thing to, if someone starts to giggle or think that it's awkward or whatever, I think Allison is so the type to just shut it down and be like, look, it's a job. be professional. Like, this is part of the job.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's not awkward because it's fake. So, like, I'm not going, I think the reason people feel awkward about it is they're worried, oh, if I do this too convincingly, the person's going to think I'm in love with them. Or, like, you know, there's sort of weird things like that. But if you are really clear about this, we were told to do this by the choreographer, so now we do this, I think it really clarifies it. And I think that she's exactly the sort of partner who could really be like, no, look, it's not a big deal. It's fine. Move on. And that's not even, it doesn't have to factor into their story because she's just going to be really mature about it.
Yeah.
So good on Allison. I mean, I'm putting all that on her, but I just feel like that's true. She just seems so, I don't know, competent.
Yeah. She's extremely professional. And, you know, you've compared her to kind of the mom of the All-Stars. And I definitely think that that is fair. I am made very nervous by Logan being in the bottom this week, but I feel like if America has any sense, these two should go very, very far, and I think are my best hope for a draft win.
I agree. They are your only hope. you have fiction, which is...
I think they're my best hope in terms of, like, probability-wise, and also I'm rooting for them. Because I really didn't think too much about Logan. I couldn't differentiate his style too much from other male contemporary dancers we've seen, or even from Lex, because they both do kind of these incredible tricks with their contemporary. But I think this week I really have fallen for Logan in a big way.
Yeah, he's definitely different, which I like. He's got a specialness to him, which is important. Did this remind you at all of Neil and Sabra's boardroom routine?
Yes, sweet dreams. I was going to bring it up, and then I was like, did it actually remind me of that, or was there just a table?
Yes, I mean, same. But there was...
I love that routine.
That was a big breakout routine. That was like one of the first routines where a woman got to not be a romantic interest. Well, she was, but like she had, you know, other stuff going on, and it was one of the first big prop routines and one of the first ones that was like honest to God, real jazz. That was a big routine.
Yeah. I loved Neil. He went to college in Pittsburgh. So he was like a hometown hero to me, even though he's not from here.
He was in Bring It on Broadway.
Amazing.
He's actually then he was in Hamilton. I don't know if he's still in, he might still be in Hamilton. Oh, I think he's great. I think he's playing the you know, the one role that was originated by
Thane Jasperson.
Yes, yes. I always forget his name.
Yeah,
the farmer guy or the general, the like dumb general. Anyway,
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So Neil's in Hamilton, so he's, you know, winning.
He's doing okay. Yeah,
he's beating everybody else. All these people who are back on their show as All-Stars, good for them. But they're not in Hamilton, so whatever.
Yeah, and Neil came in like third on that season, right? Something like that.
Yeah, that was season three. So yeah, like season three is crazy.
It was a great top. It was like him and Danny and Sabra and Lacey.
Lauren. It was Lauren.
Gotham. Lauren.
Yeah. Because Lacey wouldn't even been good enough. It had to be like Lauren's way better than Lacey.
I think that Lacey made it further than Lauren.
What?
Yeah.
So you think you dance? Season three.
Yeah. This is a heavy Googling episode of the podcast.
And that was also like, that was Ian Hawk season. Like, that was such a good season.
Yeah. It was
Lacey. Yeah. I'm sorry. You're totally right. Lauren got sixth. Oh, and Pasha and Anya were the season. Man, season three.
Season three was lit. Only reason I remember Lacey being in the top four and not Lauren is because Lauren was my favorite and I was voting for Lauren. And I remember being upset when she was eliminated.
Now, I can't vote. So do you pick like one person to support all season?
So I don't vote anymore. I haven't in a couple of years, but when I was a kid and would like run to my landline and vote as many possible times in an hour when it was still 1-866 tempo 0 whatever.
That's so dumb.
Yeah. I usually picked, I think it was like you can vote 20 times or something like that, or maybe it was as many times in an hour, but it was like I would throw most of my votes toward my favorite because I would be like all in on one person, and then like if I felt like it I would vote for my second favorite or whatever. But usually there was like, I can identify from each season the one person that I at the very least voted for the most. So I remember that season I was voting for Lauren every week.
Lauren. Okay. I think that's an interesting choice for season three. But, you know, good on you. I just wanted to bring up before we end we seem to have reached a conclusion on when someone gets eliminated, our new format appears to be a dance circle, like at a wedding.
Yeah.
And I loved it. Okay. I think it's so, because it was always so awkward. They would basically just envelop them in a hug, which meant that they weren't on camera for their final thing.
Oh,
and okay. Then there were always the people who, like, the awkward didn't really fit into the hug, so they would start dancing and then showing off, and then it had a sort of strange, I remember in an early season there was I want to say her name was like Snow or something, is that right? Was there someone named Snow?
Yes.
In season 1?
Season 1, yes.
And I remembered Nigel saying she had gone right up to the camera during the goodbyes one time and danced in front of the camera, and Nigel had praised her for that. And so people had done that for years, and I always thought it looked really callous. Like, it was just, someone just got eliminated, but I'm looking for an extra 10 seconds of screen time. So I really like this idea of everybody gathers around the person, and then, yes, it's totally hokey, but, like, they get to really show off their thing and just sort of dance and have fun for their last couple seconds on screen. I think it's a nice idea.
Yeah,
I'm hoping they keep it and it wasn't just like a weird thing that happened with Robert.
Yeah, I didn't notice that, but that is a good catch. I like that too. So that is our show. I am not happy about the results, but I am hoping that it can only go up from here. I'm going to do a quick recap of who's on each draft team just so people know when we're talking about it. So Team Step Up, which is my team, is Lex and Gabby, Logan and Allison, Dassey and Fiction, and Kiki and Jenna, RIP Robert and Jasmine. And Team Center Stage is Corne and Marco, Mark and Comfort, Kaylee and Cyrus, Robert and Taylor, and Paul and Sydney. So you can still tweet
us got one,
who you think is better.
Team Step Up, Team Center Stage. We only had one person who registered their vote, I guess, or their allegiance. And it was in the comments section. Somebody said they were Team Step Up. And I said, as long as it's out of love of Lita, that's fine. You can be on Team Step Up because you like Lita more than me. That is totally fine. But if you honestly like Lita's team more than my team, you're wrong.
I'm pretty sure someone else.
Even Lita likes my team.
I should have screenshotted it because now you'll never believe me. But I'm pretty sure someone tweeted me Team Step Up also.
Oh, maybe. I didn't check the hat. I thought I had checked the hashtags on Twitter, but maybe not. So she's got two votes, guys. Nobody voted for my team, which makes me feel very personally attacked because, like, you don't like the dancers on her team.
It's personal,
but that's okay because she's great.
Some people.
It's about popularity, and that's totally fine because I can lose to Lita on a personality basis. That's totally fine.
No, this is not a personality contest. This is a pure bitter rivalry between drafters.
Well, in which case I should be winning because everybody, come on, guys, the people on Team Step Up are ridiculous.
That is cutting. I'm so deeply hurt.
Oh, yeah. Come on. If anyone, okay, if we have any listeners who are voting for Fiction, I would like you to identify yourself and explain to me why.
For Dassey. We like Dassey.
Oh. We like Dassey, but, like, do we like Dassey that much?
Such a Fiction hater. I want to say that I do not despise Fiction as much as Kelly does. I don't, like, love him, but I don't really have any feelings about him.
It's partly that reaction thing. It's partly this, like, he's fine. He's so medium. Yeah. And Nigel's obsessed with him. He's won the show twice. He's a fine dancer. He's not an extraordinary dancer. So the thing that the show at least seems to think is extraordinary about Fiction is his personality. And I actively dislike his personality. So that's annoying to me because I just feel like we're both looking. I always talk about the dress being black and blue versus gold and white, and that's really what it felt like. Is I'm looking at the same thing as somebody else and completely not seeing it. I have similar feelings about Ryan Gosling though, so, like, you know what?
Yeah,
what do I know?
I agree with you about Ryan Gosling. I think he's fine. Whatever. I think.
Thank you. It's considered treason in Canada to not love Ryan Gosling.
Yes, so. Well, I think that for Fiction, it's just like, I want justice for Amy Yakima because she also won.
Yeah.
And I think she was an all-star one season. I don't know. But
I think she was like an all-star in those seasons where you show up for 1 week and you get your name mentioned and that's sort of it, right? Like, you're not like a...
Yeah.
These people are really spotlighted.
Yeah. I love Amy. She's from Southeast Michigan, where I went to college and kind of danced with some people that I vaguely know. So I feel personally connected to her. But also, I just love her and think that she's a great dancer.
She was awesome.
Yeah.
She was really awesome. And certainly, the people who were in those two winter seasons, nobody remembers who won. Like, yeah. They got totally overshadowed. There was always one of them who was sort of considered the lesser winner, whether or not they actually would have won. And Amy's totally that person. And yeah, it true. That's a very good point about Fiction. I don't know, whatever. He's just sort of become, because he's so popular, I feel like I can pick on him and talk about in a fun way how much I'm rooting against him. Whereas if someone's kind of an underdog, like you're not doing the same thing with Paul, even though you don't like Paul, right? Because Paul's an underdog and nobody likes Paul. So it feels mean to do that.
There's no point.
But Fiction's the king of the world. So why not?
Yeah. Well, we will wrap this up for you. We tend to get worked up about these things. So apologies for the episodes that are almost as long as the TV episodes, but we have fun. So Kelly, what are you up to? What do you want to tell our listeners about?
Nothing really. I'm in Niagara on the Lake for the Shaw Festival right now, but that's not really of that much interest to anybody. I'm not doing anything of interest, really. So just follow me on Twitter at myentworld, my ENT world. I'm doing a weird amount of tweeting about reality TV lately. I don't usually do that, but I've been catching more of it as it actually airs. So I've been able to tweet about it more. I always reply. Oh, and Twitter and Instagram. My Instagram's new, so I always forget that. And yeah, I always reply on comments. So comment on the website, robthewebsite.com, on our show page, because we always have a really good comment section. A lot of good discussion happening there. Lots of people know amazing information.
Yeah, people clocked me on being totally wrong and confusing Benji with Ivan on a contemporary routine.
Which I loved because what Lita said is, oops, I was thinking of Ivan. And like, she's always thinking of Ivan.
Always.
This is why I laugh every time she brings it up, is because like, yes, it's funny that I bring up Danny Tidwell and Katie Sheen a lot, but like, that's, it's the degree is like, she's always thinking about Ivan.
My tastes have not changed in 11 years. It's,
I love it so much.
So yes, definitely follow Kelly on those places. You can follow me on Twitter at Lita Tweeted and on Instagram at Lita Grammed. I'm doing a lot of gramming because I'm doing a lot of traveling. So I'd appreciate you check that out if you're interested in my travels. You can also have a couple stuff happening. Couple things happening this week. Oh man, talking. We are recording American Ninja Warrior. I'm recording that today. So that should be out soon. Definitely check that out. I did a podcast on the Dom and Colin podcast this week.
It's so good.
Oh, thank you.
Guys, Lita's so smart. And that sounds sarcastic. It's not. She's so impressive. You should definitely listen. This is
yeah,
so good.
Thank you, Kelly. That's really nice. You can listen to that on, I believe it's domandcolin.blogspot.ca. Are they? Yeah. I don't know why that's that. But yeah,
look it up in iTunes.
Yeah, the Dom and Colin show. It was about gender roles in The Bachelor and in broader reality TV. So that's kind of my knowledge base. So it was really fun to get to talk about that. And that pairs well with, if you go to my Twitter, it's my pinned tweet. Kelly was nice enough to host me on My Entertainment World for a piece that I wrote about Jeri Manthe and her legacy in reality TV female villainy and how that is all wrapped up in gender and culture and all those fun things. So I would appreciate if you would check out that piece of writing. It is my pinned tweet. So go look at that. I had a lot of fun writing way too many words about Jeri because I love her. So check all those things out. Follow me on social media. That is all I have for this week. If you are good, Kelly, any final thoughts?
That's all. Definitely read those. That article, though, it's really long and really great.
It's really long.
It is really long. But it's on our homepage, myentertainmentworld.ca, and it's fantastic. So definitely check that out.
Yes. So we will see you next week. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye-bye.
Bye. So you think you can dance, dance, dance.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.